we're here though. Peace, y'all. Welcome. If you saw the video, I was slow shimmying. If you didn't, just know that I'm slow shimmying. Just let your shoulders be great. We are back. I am Cindy Lee, your succulent sexologist, host of Sex on Shuffle, and I'm here with my homie.
Just heck of just another podcast.
See, that gets a slow too. That gets
slow shimmying.
Yeah. Half a body roll, something. Yeah, it deserves movement.
It's part of her mating dance.
Probably. Now I gotta pay attention. Now I need that. What's his name? That dude to be like the succulent sexologist is now in heat. So I watch a lot of nature documentaries, but I feel like it still applies because today we're going to talk about relationships. We're not going to talk about mating. Maybe. We'll talk about mates.
Mates.
Maybe mating.
Not postmates, though.
Not postmates because they didn't pay for a plug. Yes. We are here to talk about relationships. Any kind of relationships. I'm sure we're going to probably touch on romantic relationships, and like expand it, but I feel like a lot of the shit we're going to end up talking about can be applicable to all relationships that are important to you, depending on what's important, because I feel like that's another thing, like another separate thing to unpack. Like I feel that I've been conditioned to think that a romantic relationship is the end all,
right?
And that's like what you strive for, but I've seen so often people get lost in that relationship and then be like, what about all these relationships that shaped you, right? The ones that are healthy, right? If they're trash, and you know, I'm here for setting boundaries around trash as people. You know, little containers, they don't gotta be a brick wall, but maybe like, you know, some type of boundaries.
Guard dog.
A hellbound
Rottweiler ready to tear your throat out.
Look, something in regards to safety for both of us, right? Because if the Rottweiler is ready to tear my throat out, I'm going to react too, right? And then you're not going to be safe. So how do we keep all of us safe in our dynamics? You're not friends with like a Rottweiler that's trying to get at you, because I'm sorry.
No.
Or if you think your partner is one, I'm really sorry. I'm actually sorry for your partner too, dependent.
Only when I make fun of her family.
Oh. Yeah. I make fun of her family. So, but that brings up I feel like that's a good alley-oop into, can I ask you how this holiday season shows up for like your relationship, or how has it, or are holidays important?
No, definitely. In my relationship, Thanksgiving's very big for my partner, my wife in particular. And, you know, because she has a pretty big family. Oh, they're very tight. They're very, very tight. Like, even, like, you go at one, you're going to go at everybody. Like, there's, you know, young, old. Yeah, they're super, super tight, you know. And that's something that I had to kind of adjust to because, you know, I don't really come from that. So they're super tight. But then, like, Christmas is big, but she wasn't really big into Christmas like I am. Christmas is important to me, you know, just because growing up, that was like the favorite holiday, and you know, all the, you know, over the years it's evolved into not just being about, you know, stuff you're gonna get or whatever. It's,
right.
You know, it just as you get older, you know what I'm saying? So and you know, just in general, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, my wife is funny in a sense that there are things as like she's never really been in a like serious, she had like, I don't know if I'm her first relationship, her first real relationship, but like serious relationship, but there are times where, you know, like she does certain things, and then she, and then I have to realize that she's never been in the situation, so she doesn't know how to be in the situation, you know what I mean? Or, you know, mm-hmm. just in terms of just, you know, like anniversaries were a big adjustment for her in the beginning, because, you know, she didn't know, you know, she never really had one. So it was just like, okay, you know, what do I do in this situation? And, you know, so in the year, you know, over time, she's gotten a lot better with certain things, but there's other things that I know that they're awkward for her, awkward situations for her. So, you know, but being in a relationship is, you know, like, no one's perfect. So you have to take everybody where they're at, and you just go with that. And you just say, you know, and, but you, you know, and it also too, you know, I used to remember teaching to, it's okay to not accept those things if that's not for you, because better to say no now than you're invested in this relationship. And now you guys have like a family and property and all these different types of things. And then it's like, this isn't for me. It's like, wait, no.
Now.
Yeah, it's too late now. I mean, it's probably never too late, but at the same time, if when it becomes more than you, then yes, it is, because now there's children involved. And now, you know, there's a lot of different dynamics within that.
Yeah. So. Because, yeah, what I'm hearing is, like, the relationships evolve, and when they evolve, they start including people outside of yourself that you need to not ignore, right? Or not neglect in the situation. Definitely. So,
you have to care about,
you know, if you are somebody who came to the realization later, know that those are things that you need to consider, right? Like, or not, or figure out what you need to consider, because I can't make the assumption that these things are important to everyone. For me, in my opinion, that shit is important, right? Especially 100%. Like, you know, you're saying your wife feels like family is super important. That means that there was like, either it was implicit or explicit that that was an agreement, right? Like that's a boundary in and of itself, right? Yeah. You have to be okay with my squad, my community, it's super important to me.
Yeah.
It, probably to the point that if they didn't like you, she heard it. You know what I mean? Yeah, like that's part. And it hits different for people who we didn't have that kind of upbringing, right? Like, you know, you have family, but it's not in the same kind of big collective. We're all, like, I didn't have reunions, right? Like I didn't have family reunions or have those kind of familial things. Yeah. So it's good to know those parts. And I bring all of that up. It's because we don't realize that some of these agreements we make at the beginning, even if we don't say them out loud, right? Or we make these assumptions based on what we come into the relationship with, right? So when y'all, were you able to have conversations with one another? Did that happen close to when it was marriage conversations, or did it happen like when you started dating?
It was learned over time. Yeah. It was learned. You know, it was because you know how I am. I joke around and I say certain things, and and every time, you know, like if every time I'd say a joke or I'd say something, like even recently, she was showing me something that a particular family member had posted online, and I was just like, they're dumb. They sound dumb. And oh, well, you can't. And I'm like, but you even know they sound dumb. Like, they sound dumb. They sound dumb. Like, come on, like, what are they talking about? Like, they sound dumb. So they were just like, she's like, oh, and I was just like, there you go, like defending the, like, you know, and I was just, and then she kind of like fell back a little bit because she kind of caught herself doing it. Not to say, and she's not being wrong. I'm not trying to like disarm her or to stop her from defending her family, but, you know, at the same time, it was like, you know, you're gonna attack me right now and say something that we're probably gonna be in agreement to later. So, but that's what I understand about her, and I'm okay with that. there were times where it that behavior did put a strain on our relationship a little bit, where I had like disagreements with family members, and it ended up putting her in the middle. But it was also, you know, it made me realize if I really love this person, you know, I need to stop doing what, you know, I need to not hold a grudge as much as I was. So I had to like stop my behaviors in a way and be like, okay, you know what? I'm going to bury the hatchet because at the end of the day, you know, I want her to be happy. I want, you know, so it was just like, you know what? Let me just chill and let me just, you know, and it wasn't easy. It was,
yeah,
it wasn't easy. Not for the sense of like, you know, it, you know, when you try to offer the olive branch and they kind of, they kind of still spit on it a little bit. And you're just like, oh, okay. Well, you know what? I offered it. It's cool, whatever. Like, you know,
I can't, but it depends how the offer took place. And I mean, that's a good conversation because I think about, I feel like you are still entitled to your opinions, but that may not be something that y'all could talk about with each other. Like that may be 100%. Like, okay, that sounds like we need to draw a little boundary right here. It sounds like I have to keep that to myself. Because I don't know if I can get rid of my resentment. I be having resentment sometimes. I'll be like, oh, I remember what I heard about that you did, right? But I got to keep that. Well, I try really hard to keep that to myself because I'm like, that was their experience from what they told you. That's, you know, that's your mom or like that's your whoever. And figuring that out. Cause I know for me, I tried to do that whole, let's have these conversations, right? Like in the beginning, let's have these conversations. And it was very, yeah, we'll talk about it a little bit now, but we'll table it. We'll table it. All right. But we tabling it until it's like, right. An issue, right? Until our heads button, we're not going to talk about it right now. We're going to feel a way and we might have to, circle back. We be like, we need to talk about this, but I need a minute because I got to figure out like, what are my things? Cause sometimes we come into relationships with like this preset thing of agreements and what, regardless of how much you love that other person, they came with their own set and that shit might be on par and that shit might not be. And I would try to make space for figuring out what those things happen. And that's not very idealistic because there's going to be times where like, I didn't even think about that shit. Well, now we're about to go toe to toe. Cause now this is hitting, this is doing something. It's activating something in me for us to be able to talk about it.
Yeah. I have another example is I have a friend, someone that I've known for a little while and he, generally a good guy. And you know, like we've had conversations. It's kind of like a mentee kind of a relationship in a way. But we're, you know, the things I appreciate about him is that he's honest about his shit. You know what I'm saying? And so we've had conversations where he's admitted that a part of his process in picking someone is kind of like picking someone that he feels safe with because he has these insecurities about himself, right? So he's going to pick a certain kind of person or, you know, someone that he feels like that they're more understanding of what he's been through in his life, even though they may not be a match. And you know what I mean? Like, it's one of those things where he'll start, you know, and like in every relationship, the first 6 months is great because the bonding is great. You're happy.
Yeah.
You gain that freshman 15.
That new relationship. I'm not messing with you.
You know, everything smells fresh. You know, it's great. You're hanging out. You know, you agree on everything. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And then, you know, after 6 months, then you start to see things that you're just like, oh, I didn't really notice that. But, And so I've seen him go through this in multiple relationships. Mm. And his thing is, you know, everything is very fast, and then they get together, and then he starts to realize, well, wait a minute, I'm starting to notice these things. And then it like, just as fast as it starts is as fast as it ends. And, you know, part of it, I try to tell him, I'm like, listen, like, you have to look at yourself first. Mm-hmm. And but it's tough to also say that when I'm not in his headspace. Like, he doesn't want to be alone. And he's been alone. Well, he's felt alone for much of his life. At least that's what I get from our conversations. And he just wants somebody that he could chill with and that can be understanding of him. Mm-hmm. But he also, because he's still kind of young, he doesn't realize that the working on yourself is part of that journey. And you're not you're not gonna really find someone that you really that's really gonna be with you. I mean, you know, 6 months of boning is great. And then the relationship starts when, you know, like, through conversation and just kicking it. And there's a lot of different things than just boning.
When I hear you talk about, before you even said that piece about him being alone, I immediately felt like, oh, is this something with attachment, right? Like, does he have previous experience around either not having enough or wanting it? Mm-hmm. Because I think it's okay to want to be in a relationship and have one of your particulars be that you want somebody to be understanding of whatever the stuff you're going to. But, you know, he's not my client, but I'm thinking about, what does chilling and being understanding mean? Like, do you want a therapist, or do you want somebody who just isn't going to judge you? Which, of course, that makes sense. You know what I mean?
It's the judgment piece.
Right.
Yeah, you know. And I was just like, oh, okay. I was like, because when he said it to me, because I asked him a question, I was like, you know, yo, like, are you picking these particular people just because of what you've been through in your life or whatever? And he's like, yeah, 100%. He's like, I'll be like, yo, like, I don't know. I think we have these, when you're friends with somebody, or at least, you know, you're just like, oh, you know, why would you date that person? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you kind of want better, or you want the best for them, or, you know, but your definition of better isn't their definition of better. And then,
absolutely,
you know, and I think I've gone through that a couple of times in my life. Like, years ago, I remember there was this girl who I was kind of into, but because of me being away at college, and, you know, like, she was like in the neighborhood that I was living at and different things like that. And it just never happened, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then I came back one summer, and she was kind of messing around with this guy, this neighborhood guy, whatever, who had a wife. Like, it was a tricky situation. I found out, I was like, what? Like, and it was like out, it wasn't like out in the open, but people knew about it.
Right.
And I just asked her, I was like, yo, like, what's that about? Like, why do that? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, you could do so much better. And she was like, yo, I just want to, like, you know, I just want to be able to hang out with somebody that just looks at me in that way. And I'm just like, I was like, oh, shit. Okay. I get it. You know what I'm saying? And it was like she gave me like one of the keys to the mind of a woman at that moment. Cause I was just like, oh. You know,
well, at least the mind of hers. At least her
mind. Hers, yeah. Yeah. Her mind, rather, excuse me. Her mind. And I was just like, oh, shit. Okay. Wow. And, you know, like, after that, I mean, I never, cause I got to a relationship and I never like pursued it. But, you know, that's one of those things when I think about that conversation, I was just like, you know, oh, okay. You know, like, this is a young, you know, this is a woman who just wants to be in a relationship with somebody. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whether it's with a guy who's got her, you know what I'm saying? It didn't matter. She just wanted to be appreciated in that manner. So I was like, wow. So I don't know.
That fulfilled the need that she thought she had at that moment.
Yes.
And maybe she'll continue to have that need, or she'll expand and be like, oh, I can have other desires. Like, I can get my needs met and have multiple ones. I feel like sometimes folks, I don't want to say that folks settle, but folks don't give themselves a minute to get clear on why they want to be with somebody. Because if you are like, oh, I'm alone, or oh, I want praise, you can get those things in other places without putting yourself in a relationship that you may not want once you're with them, right? Like, especially once time passes and things are clear, or you've evolved, and you're like, oh, I need a little bit more than that praise, or I need a little bit more than some boning, and you don't judge me because I got shit with me, right? Like, it's how we evolve in that, and you know, definitely, how we address it in the relationship. I think so often we just ride because it's a thing, right? Like, we're present with it and it feels so good that we'll lose the presence, we'll lose the ability to be like, all right, what does this look like? And I'm not saying talk about marriage the first date, that doesn't make sense, right? But it's, what would it look like to sit and get clear on why am I with this person? Oh, I'm with this person to feel for this piece. All right, bet. Do they know that? Because if not, if they sit here on that same situation, one person is like, oh, I got this one need, but this other person is like, oh no, but I found my person. I'm building, I'm making all these things happen. But if they're not talking to each other, sooner or later that dwindles down and it turns into like, oh, well, resentment. Oh, well, I'm not interested anymore. Oh, this person isn't fulfilling the needs, or my needs have evolved. But I don't know. I feel relationships are complicated for a number of reasons.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you start off with the fact of, like, you know, early on what relationships, what they were predicated by, you know, it's like, oh, be with this one person forever. Right? And that's such a funny thing to say, because it's like, is that, you know, is that realistic? And, you know, a lot of that was guided by, like, the church. Be with this one person and this one person only, you know, and that may be great. That worked for that generation, I guess. Or maybe, and maybe not, because you don't really know. A lot of women back then had to fall back and be like, you know what, this is what's being dictated by society, so I need to follow this. And then, you know, that was the 40s and the 50s, and then the 60s came, and then it was like, well, I don't really feel comfortable with being this way, you know what I'm saying? And maybe, you know, I'd like to maybe get a job, and and it was like, well, no, you know. And still push back, and then the 70s came, and it was like, listen, this is what it is, and I'm gonna be what I am, or whatever. And then followed by the 80s, which was a fuck show in itself, because a lot of women, even though it was, you know, women's rights were coming around, it was still it was the ones that were unwritten, like being respectful and, you know, taking no for an answer, like that, you know, things like that. So, you know, the whole hair on a can, pubic hair on a can thing, and the sexual harassment at work, and all these all these trials and tribulations. So you talk about that role in itself evolving over time, and women having to fight. And, you know, it's just it's one of those things where it's like a relationship should be something that you want to be in. It shouldn't be something that you, you know, it's like, oh, okay, well, I'm gonna go do this, and this is my life forever. Like, no, that doesn't work, especially with all the divorce lawyers out there right now. Like this,
I feel like a number of things just popped up, because in my head, when I think about the messages that we got around relationships, I feel like some of that is bullshit too, right? Some of that is made up, or just another opportunity for, like, shame and guilt to show up. Yeah, because, you know, now we talk about, oh, back in the day, people stayed and got married for long periods of time. And I'm like, but we know the stories that we don't talk about out loud. We know the people that have been married for 50 years, but they were in a shitty relationship or had a second family or, you know, had an agreement because they wanted to stay within the confines of marriage, either because of work or property or family.
Yes.
But other things happened, but we ain't talk about it. So now that stuff is showing up now. Now it's like, oh, your goals, they were goals, but they were goals because they were in an open relationship or because they was mad at each other for, you know, there's so many things that we don't know in the details of it, but we've taken the fantasy to be the truth. And that's it, the light and the way. And if that shit worked for you, like, I'm not throwing shade on it at all. I think it's us being understanding that there's other types of relationship dynamics and we don't know everything that happens in a relationship, right? Like, because we're quick to say a relationship is perfect because of what we see wherever we see it, but perfect comes with work, right? Perfect comes with like choosing that person constantly, and like having to choose the person and want to be in relationship with them.
Yeah, definitely. I think perfect is such a setup word, man. Because it's like, you know, nothing is perfect. No one is perfect. Like, maybe, like, nothing at all. In our, you know, the sun's going to explode billions of years from now. It's going to eradicate this solar system. Does that make it perfect? No, not at all. Because it's going to murder everything if they're even human beings at this point. There's nothing perfect with anything. But you know, you have to be able to take the things that make you happy or that you know, and even, you know, and also with that, be able to say, okay, I can accept this because I'm happy with this. You know, I can accept this person being messy because I'm happy with the fact that they love me. You know what I'm saying? I'm okay with them. Yeah. You know, leaving dishes in the sink because they cook the food. So I can wash those dishes because I know that this person's going to make me a meal that I'm going to enjoy. You know, you know what I'm saying? Like this, that you have to be able to have some give and take. You have to, because if not, then, I mean, if you are not prepared for that sort of dynamic, then you have to figure out, well, what's the next thing? And that's when, you know, are you okay with just being single and having different mates for different states or different, you know what I'm saying? You know, having different things. And you have to, you know, because, and that's being fair to the other person that you're with. Because, you know, and there's plenty of people who are okay with that. And you have to move into that crowd. But there isn't, you know, but then you have people that are like, well, I want my cake and I'm gonna eat it too. And they're gonna be like, well, I don't want those things, but I still want these things. And I'm just gonna, you know, figure out which, and it becomes a kind of selfish thing. Then it's the damaging aspect. And then that kind of sets up the person to be like, well, you know what? I have these things in my head. And moving forward, I'm going into my next relationship with that.
I think it's also like you need to be clear enough with yourself, or get clear, or learn to be present with yourself enough to know what you're willing to accept, right? And what you're not. And also, I feel like sometimes without giving that space for us to really reflect on that, you can't go into a relationship being like, ooh, they fit these points, but this point I really don't like. All right, I'm going to change that point. No, it's, are you willing to accept that as is? Or are you going in on the hope that that shifts? Because then that's a setup, because I feel like there's a space for like manipulation, right? Mm-hmm. Because you're going to try to make things be a thing and so that it can end up in the outcome that you want. But that shit don't work either, because it won't last long, even if it lasts good in the beginning, because, you know, relationship energy and some good ass and like all these things do things literally to our body. Like we could take the world on, right? And then at some point that's not sustainable because it's not in alignment. Like, I know I can get messy imagine if I came into this relationship without telling my lover, who's like super, everything got to get done, you know, and I'm sure that comes from a place too, but like everything got to be super spick and plant, spick and span. If I try to force myself to be something that I'm not, it might not be sustainable, or I might be resentful, or I'm not being authentic, right? So then we move in together and it's, ooh, surprise. Like, that's going to be a big hit for someone depending on where that hits them. Like, that shit might come from a place of, I like shit neat, or it comes from a place of, I used to get my ass beat for not having shit neat. So like, there's so many things that impact how we live and exist. And I always bring up the individual, because sometimes I feel like I hear from folks that's it. Once we're in a partnership, we're an entity. And yeah, that's true to a point, but you also got to be your own person and have your own interests and your own time, so that you're able to suss out what are the things you're down or okay with, and what you're not. Like, you have to be able to have other friends. And that goes back to that whole piece of, if our culture has taught us that that's it, you get with a partner and that's it and that's all. What happens when they don't fulfill whatever needs you feel like you have, or you end up having new needs that are hella important? And that's why you see shit like relationship shift, and understanding that, yes, this shit can end. This isn't Disney. It's not going to be forever. We can have expiration dates. That doesn't mean it needs to end fucked up. We can end in an amicable way. Like, I still value you as a person. Unless you were trash, and then you do, you know, have whatever reactions you need to have with it. But I'm like, I don't know. I think the more I get older, the more I want to be like, I don't want to say love yourself first, because I feel like that's a cop out too, because then it leads to an expectation of, oh, I can't be in anything unless I fulfill this goal of like, what does loving myself, or what does being healed mean? I don't think that works either. I think it's just make sure that is addressed, and that's not left under the table because you're getting whatever need that it was really important to you, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it's that attention or something.
Don't neglect yourself.
Yeah.
And that's part, you know, and I mean, I think that is part of loving yourself though, but at the same time, it should be inclusive of certain things if that's for you. I kind of learned that the hard way, in that you have to, you know, you can't, there's no way you can love somebody else more than you love yourself, because it's such a weird place to even start from, because you're hating yourself, or you're not happy with where you're at yourself, but you're going to love somebody else. And it's two different kind of energies that contradict. It's like the magnets that's polar opposite, and they're never going to link. They're never going to link. It's always going to be something, because at the end of the day, it's just two different types of energies. One that's super negative, and one that's, it's positive. One that's, you know, but I mean, again, it comes, you know, all these things are imperfections. All these things, you know, like, and it's things that we're, you know, even to have this conversation now is like an evolution of things that, and it'll be super evolved from people in the next generations. Like, when we're older and we're ready to pass on to wherever we go, this conversation will be at another level, and it'll be, you know, something where, you know, where things would be super unheard of, where, you know, multiple relationships will be like a thing, you know, or even, you know, even though they're a thing now, whatever, you know what I'm saying? But it'll, you know, like just people, oh, you know, as we evolve as human beings, and the things that we're learning and moving on from, you know, it's just part of, you know, at the end of the day, you know, relationships start from a chemical in your brain. You know what I'm saying? Because they start from this idea that, you know, I need to be with someone. You know what I'm saying? And then from that chemical, then starts the other synapses kick in, like, well, why is this something that I want? What is this? Do I want a child and a family out of this? Do I want, you know, just to hook up and sow my oats, sort of thing, you know? And then it branches out from there. And then it's like, well, what kind of person do I want to sow my oats with? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And is this person, you know, it gets weird, especially. It super does, because even like, you know, like I can only speak from a man's perspective. I can't really speak from, I can empathize with women. I can empathize with you, and I can understand, okay, yeah. And think about like the things that you may want or the things that are needed in the relationship. But from a man's perspective, especially from my generation, it was like, bang them all out, get it all done. And then when you're ready, you chill and you settle down. Mm-hmm. And that was, you know, a lot of different things that I've seen in my life were just like super weird. Cause I, you know, seeing other guys carry that out, and I'm just like, you know, from like guys catching like STDs and blaming it on the woman that they were with when they were the one cheating. Right. Like, yo,
and being mad,
damn, you know, that's a special place for you. Mm-hmm. You know, I've seen these kind of weird things, you know, so it's just like, I don't know where, you know, and it was tough because at times, you know, I would try to emulate that, but part of me knew it was just like, this is kind of shitty what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think about the relationships that, you know, of women that I had been smarter or been better at, you know, being a human being, I'd probably be married to them, or they, you know, who's to say? So,
yeah,
you know, it's,
but I think that's a testament to how much we evolve as a person that we don't realize that how it's important for us to have continuous check-ins with the people that we fuck with, because things can shift and change so much.
Yeah.
And I hear so many folks being like, oh, okay, well, I'm here. Like I'm in it now. Like I've committed. And I'm like, but no, like this is the one life that we have.
Yeah.
Like, what does it look like if you love people to be honest with them and be honest with yourself in a way that lets people have a life with someone else, if that's not the alignment, right? Or come into terms with, you know, if you are in a monogamous relationship, but your ass is cheating, well, maybe you're not monogamous, right? Like now we can have those conversations a little more. Like we can have own that about yourself,
right,
or don't, and continue to be shitty and get whatever consequences that come with that, right? Like there's a cause and effect with everything.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I appreciate about the shift in the culture, is because we have more exposure and we have more like mainstream conversations about this, because this is going to continue to evolve. And that doesn't mean that there aren't people that fit the whatever stereotypical monogamous cis heterocentric relationship. If that's your bag, that's beautiful. Mm-hmm. But if it's not, stop, there's no future in front in either. Like, let's figure out what that means, because there's so many receipts that shit exists. Even before this exposure shit, most of the world has other relationship dynamics besides this monogamous, I'm gonna stay with this family union forever kind of a thing. Like it's expansive, and that's why you hear people or younger people talk about relationship anarchy. But I feel like there's people our age too that are coming to terms with, there's some shit I learned that worked when it did, and it don't work now. So now it's a system of unlearning and relearning, right? Because that shit could change. When I got into my relationship with my lover now, we've been together about 5 years. You know, I'm a person that believes in consensual non-monogamy and that believes in polyamory. And I knew that that's not where her head was at. So I wasn't like, ooh, let me get with her and let me expand her mind and be like, oh, we have a friend over today. Like, that's not manipulative, right? So like, that wasn't a conversation we had. Like, hold on, I'm just here. here? Do you want a drink? Like, I've seen people do shady things like that. Oh, no, they're just my friend, right? Like, but it's Friday night. Like, don't do that. Like, be explicit. Like, put 10 toes down and have a conversation. Like, you don't have to pussyfoot around things. So I didn't have that kind of conversation. And instead, we imagine if I tried to without talking to her about what it meant. When I talked to her about polyamory and stuff, what came up was like, oh shit, so cheaters really, really ain't shit because look at all these other options that exist. So imagine if I would have automatically been like, oh nah, she monogamous, she not gonna wanna do this, let me just hide this part of myself. And instead it was like, oh shit, I get it now, right? And like, and expanded, and for her to make whatever decision she wants to make, and we can come into the relationship and be like, all right, year five, what is this looking like? Oh, it's something I'm interested in. All right, cool. And again, that's not to say that changing and shifting shit in your relationship is going to be 100% effective either, because sometimes it might turn out that this isn't working the way it needs to, because this is my push hard limit, this one you're not with. So how do we amicably cut ties? Right. And I get the complexity, but shit is complex. If it means we have to have conversations around living in this world that, you know, it's hard to live with without multiple incomes, like multiple incomes are helpful. And you don't want to live in a life that doesn't feel right and exact, right? Unless you believe in reincarnation and you're like, all right, I'm 22. I guess I'll try again next lifetime. Like, no, you have so much fucking life. This could be the end of a particular chapter. And I'm like, I say all that and I'm like, I'm not telling everybody to leave your relationships, but maybe it's sitting and what does it look like to be a partner in this relationship? Can you show up in that way? Or can your partner show up for you? And if not, what happens then? Mm-hmm. Right? Like, I love the shit out of you still. I still don't not love you. So what does that look like for next steps? Right. Maybe it looks like having a big puppy pile party, but maybe it looks like just us having a conversation of what are steps moving forward. And again, like we mentioned in the beginning, that shit hits different when you got family, friends, children, a housing situation, you living in New York, like whatever it is. But I think we need to be more communicative about shit like that and be honest with yourself too, because some folks are like, oh, I'm not the problem. And I'm like, okay, but it doesn't have to be a fault. It just has to be, maybe we didn't realize that what we came in here for is not what we want now.
Right, exactly. A question I've wanted to ask you, especially when you talk about like heteronormative cis relationships. What are your feelings when you see like relationships within like the LGBTQ plus community that kind of fall towards that, more or less? You know what I'm saying? Where the roles are like, and you know, I mean, it's funny. It's one of the things that's always confused me a little bit, because we're in a culture that's so against labels.
Yeah.
Within the community, there's at least there was. I'm not sure anymore though. There was always check boxes. Like there's always, oh well, if you're this, then you're this. Like if you dress like a boy, then you're an AG.
Yeah.
If you dress like this, then you're a bottom. And then, you know what I'm saying? And it's always like there was always a role. There was always something, and it was just like, well, why the label? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And, but it, you know, I guess it's maybe the fight for the identity that you were seeking, or maybe to feel like you belong to a culture, whereas where, you know, when how you were living before, you weren't really involved, you weren't viewed, you were just the person that was just like, oh well, they're into their own thing, and then you kind of just got brushed to the side or whatever. You know, I'm trying to make sense of it, but when you see those types of relationships, like, what are your thoughts on that?
I think I'm gonna do both. Like, I have opinions and I think we need to, all that shit exists, right? The same way that I'm sitting here talking about how polyamory exists and all these other kinds of consensual non-monogamy, there are going to be folks that are in the queer community that might embody things that we think are typical to the gender roles that are placed on cis-hetero relationships, right? Like outside. And some of it might have to do with gender presentation and discovering yourself and what it looks like when you finally have permission to be whoever it is, whether that has to do with who you love and who you want to be with and or how you want to present yourself. Because there were a lot of labels, and I don't think I have a problem with labels. I think I have a problem with people policing other people's labels, right? Of somebody not being enough of this or not enough of this. Mm-hmm. Or you can't fit this particular style, because that's when, like, at the end of the day, we all been raised in hyper-masculinity and patriarchy and misogyny and misogynoir. Like, that shit that's baked, weaved into our culture, that's just gonna show up. I've been in relationships with cis women that did shit in a very toxic masculine, damn near you remind me of some cis hetero dudes that we would call trash, right? But that's because they embody some of those things that may have felt like that's what they've been taught, that's what they've been conditioned to believe, that that's what is a person, right? An AG or a stud. And I've seen other ways too. I've seen folks, I mean, because, you know, I feel very strongly about, there's like a femophobia. There's a lot of discrepancy around whether or not folks can be masculine of center or feminine of center. I've heard people in my communities be like, oh, femme on femme is gross, right? Years ago. But I've heard those things that to me, it baffled me. But then there's an understanding that, of course, like, I have compassion now. We've been raised in these fucked up systems.
Just to quickly interject, hetero men love femme on femme.
I can't fuck with you. See, and then that's another thing we gotta contend with, right? Like, okay, let's make a note of that. I'll give it to the newsletter of the gay community that men want femme on femme, right? Because there's this belief that women, right, or people who have been conditioned as women or femme folks,
yep,
that we're here for like the male gaze, right? Or we're here, totally, which is why people don't get, like, I haven't taught in college classrooms in a minute now, but I always get that. Okay, but if she's gonna have sex with this person, or she's gonna have sex with a woman, why she gotta dress like that? Or why she has to have a strap on? And I'm like, but your gender presentation and your sexual relationships, your behaviors, they don't equate, right? Because now if we wanna talk about it, there's cis-het relationships that the gender roles might be switched, or you might think that a cis woman is the one that, quote unquote, you know, or the cis dude wears the pants,
right?
But it's not that way, right? Or it's flipped on its head, because we have these beliefs that this is a thing. So when we see anything else across it, we're like, ooh, that's strange. And I'm like, not all that shit exists,
right?
Because I know a lot of cishet dudes that do not wear these quote unquote pants, right? Like, or I used to have a client, the client told me, oh, he wears the pants, but I control the zipper, right? So like, there was different ways that it got talked about. And I'm like, if you want to have your identities, have them. It's, I feel big on, like, when you start policing other people and you start policing other people's ways of being in relationships, right? Like, if we're talking about cishet, because, you know, y'all are listening. Keep it real with yourself. When you see your homie and your homie's loved up with their partner, what's some of the things that come out? You don't be like, you know what, good for you in your healthy relationship. You be like, oh, you mess off, or like, oh, look how cute. Like, I've been in those, I know, okay, you, yeah, right? Yeah, like, I've seen those things happen,
yeah,
right? And then we create this little space of shame and guilt, right? Even if you don't want to come across like that, you feel a way about it, and that may impact the way that you treat your partner, and that's bullshit too,
yeah,
right? So like, who's in your relationship with you?
Yeah. I've known more women to kind of be like, oh, you soft, like, or you know, because I don't know, I'm not to say that men don't look at each other's partners, but I, you know, anybody, a lot of men that I'm around or whatever, they were just like, nah, good for you, bro, you know, that sis or whatever.
Yeah.
Versus other women would be like, oh, good for you. And then be like, yo, you know what I'm saying? And then kind of slide in, you know what I'm saying? And I've been part of that. I've been with women whose friends were like, yo, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, you could call me anytime you want. And I'm like, okay, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know,
really?
How do you interpret, you know, and how I interpret it,
mm-hmm.
you know, it was kind of different, but at the same time, it's like, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Can I really call you anytime? Like, you know what I'm saying? And what does that entail? Like, what comes with that? Like, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And yeah, I don't know, it gets weird.
But. And could that come from a place of like your previous experiences of what that meant, right? Mm-hmm. Like, because it's giving you that feeling, but was there an opportunity for you to like expand more? Like, tell me more about what this call means, which is why folks go so hard in the paint with relationships. I knew
what the call meant.
See, but I don't know, because I wasn't there and I need context. Context is important, because then that turns into I can't have certain friends when I'm in a relationship. And I'm like, but that's fucked up if you have friends, unless you're having friends that don't respect your boundaries around relationships.
Hey. That person was never really your friend? Because if they're willing to swap you for the person that just came into the circle, then that's not really a friend.
And
that's
right.
That's a totally different, you know. Again, you got to examine your relationships.
Exactly. Because I'm like, our friendships too. If you have been taught to believe that your boo is the only thing that matters, to the point that you've treated your friends like shit, or you haven't invested in those kind of relationships, that's just going to show too.
Oh, yeah.
100%. Because then what happens? You don't got nobody unless you have a boo, and you're giving your boo this unspoken requirement that they got to be your end all be all number one best friend boo, psychologist, mom, God. And that shit don't work either.
Yeah, I've been there.
See? So it's there's layers to this. That's why I feel like we need to just keep it 100. I don't know how it is right now in dating life, but I'm sure it's as shitty as it was 10 years ago, 5 years ago when we was in it.
It seems shittier, but I don't know. Again, I'm not in it, so. I'm so glad I'm not in it either.
I know it's difficult because people still are not taking care of themselves in different ways and expect other people, especially if we're talking about, if you are taught that your partner is supposed to do these things or be these things for you. I think that's what sucks sometimes. You know, it's not my relationship, but sometimes when I hear relationships, I'll hear cis dudes being like, oh, she made me better. And I'm like, that sounds really good, but I'm also very like, did she want to? Did she feel like, did she have to? Like,
I've
seen other, you know, I've seen it in the reverse too, but I just want to be like, can't be all things to all people, including your boo.
But that also could be also like, it's also how it's all about interpretation also, because them making you better may not mean that they improved you.
Yeah.
May have mean that you learned things about yourself.
And
you, because you're willing to be with that person, you're like, you know what? I need to improve this about myself. I need to I need to be better for myself so that I can be with this person so that we can be happy together. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's different. There's different things. But to your point too, there are other people out there like, nah, he used to wear Tim's, but now he wears loafers. You know what I'm saying? Or, you know, I had someone make a comment to my wife, like, oh yeah, you know, you made him better because, you know, before he used to drink like Hennessy. And I'm like, I'm just looking at it. When I heard that, I was just like, okay. Like,
and I feel like that's a microaggression. I feel like that's like underlying shit.
It was. It was. Because it was just like, you know, like, it was basically like, you know, oh, this is this kid from the hood or whatever. And I'm like,
this ain't Cinderella. No,
no, it's not. Like, it really wasn't. But you know, in a sense, my wife did help me become a better person. Right. Or she's helping me become a better person because it's a journey. Mm-hmm. I'm not better. I'm not all the way better. No, that's shit with me still that I know I need to, you know, be better about. But, you know, that's part of my journey. And mm-hmm. there's things that I would think that I've helped her become better at. I think, and one of those things is her being more vocal. Because before she would just like, we'd get into these arguments and she would just like close up. And she would wouldn't say anything. And I used to be like, yo, like, do you want to talk about this? And she'd be like, okay. And I'm like, well, why didn't you could initiate the conversation? You know, and now she's gotten better. Like, it's not 100%, but she's gotten better. Well, she'll be like, yo, like, we need to talk about this. And I'm just like, okay, like, you know, versus being defiant in myself and being like, no, I don't want to talk about it. I'm mad at you. And that's all that matters right now.
Right.
You know, it's no, you know what? It's not, because that's not good for the relationship. That's not good for us. So I'm going to get out of my own way. Chill with this anger. Because, you know, a lot of times the anger is stuff. It could be one thing, but it's all the other stuff that's piled up on top of that. That ain't got nothing to do with that. You know, and you end up then, you know, people that are really interested in being happy with that person will look at that stuff and be like, okay, I got to take this off. I got to take this off because this has nothing to do with it.
Mm-hmm. You know,
the jerk at my job has nothing to do with the situation.
Right.
Damn IRS. These days. Okay, and then let's focus on this one thing. Okay, how this made me feel. Boom. And then you go from there. You know what I'm saying? That's part of, you know, being in the relationship and really being in it, as opposed to just like being just like, oh, you know, well, it's all about what I'm going through right now. What it is, you know, and you're not gonna get anywhere with that. You're just gonna be still mad, probably on the couch, whatever, wherever you at. But I don't know. But I think this was a very dope conversation today. I think we hopefully a lot of people will gain something from this, or maybe they disagree with us and whatever, you know what I'm saying? But definitely feel free to DM me at Just Heck on Instagram. You could Just Heck on Twitter. What's your handle, Cindy?
You can reach me at Cindy Lee Alves. I'll put it in the podcast notes, and you can either disagree with us or ask a question. Like, that's why we're having this dialogue, because I feel like it's a witnessing of us just chopping it up about real things, and that may be like give you an aha moment, or be like, fuck that, I want all of that, right? Yeah. As respectful as you can be, because I will clap back. But come, Cindy Lee Alves, Twitter, Instagram.
Yeah, and also too, like, we've witnessed each other's relationships, and we've had our own relationship stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, because part of the journey, especially when you're with someone that you care about, in whatever dynamic it may be, is
absolutely.
You know, and you know, we've witnessed each other ups and downs, and you know, and dark moments and happy moments and stuff like that. So this isn't just like us kind of off. This is not necessarily off the cuff, but we you know, this is from experience. This is those things where, you know, like, we've, you know, these are things, and that's part of the learning. It's learning and continuing to learn, even when you think you know everything, because it comes to relationships, you know nothing. You know nothing. You know?
And how beautiful it is to continue to explore and discover things about yourself, even if they ain't shit.
Exactly.
It's good to know.
It's like a never-ending game where you find new levels.
Yes.
Every day.
Yes. But no cheat codes.
No cheat codes.
So that's why we're sharing out of a place of transparency.
Yes.
And I wish I had a cheat code. I did not.
But my
do with it what you will.
I felt bad a lot. I was just like, yeah. A lot of concussions and contusions. I'm about to bump my head now because I'm supposed to make dinner on Thursdays and I'm not making anything. I'm going to Grubhub it.
And that's fine. That was your responsibility. It's checked. That's it.
She was like, oh, I can't wait to get home to see what you made me. I was like, I ain't making nothing. She was like, oh, whatever.
I curated a feast right now. As long as you come home to food.
A plethora.
There you go.
A plethora of options.
There you go. There you go. Let's see how that happens.
I'll give you an update after that.
Yes.
Oh, man. So I have been Just Heck.
I am Cindy Lee.
I like how you phase into the Cindy Lee voice, the intro and the outro.
It's the soft and warm. I'm telling you, start with soft and warm.
Oh, man. This has been another podcast, Sex on Shuffle Match Mashup. Appreciate you guys. Be safe out there. Wear a mask when needed.
Please.
And, you know, do what you got to do. Peace, love, and hair grease.
Mm-hmm. Shimmies.
Shimmies.
All day.